Good morning, Trinity.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. Welcome back to some. And it's great to be in God's house here today as we worship and praise. I'd like to have you be aware there's a couple of cards in the front. Please fill those out. One is for prayer requests. Please let us know if there's something that needs to be followed up on. Give us your phone number and all of that. And we'd also ask if you could please also fill out the member status and also the visitors. If you're here with us, love to know that you're here and to fill that out as well. Now, God's blessings and welcome to Trinity. And we'd also like to say now, would you please stand and greet one another? Thanks. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we
confess our sins,
God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by the authority of Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful Father, your patience and loving kindness toward us have no end. Grant that by your Holy Spirit, we may always think and do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for today is from the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should live alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." So out of the ground, Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock, and to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs, closed up its place with flesh, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Then the man said, This at last is a bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore A man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. They shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson today is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made for him a little helper lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see who, for a little while, was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom while all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell you your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise, and again, I will put my trust in him. And behold, I and the children God has given me, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel is written in the book of St. Mark, the 10th chapter. The Pharisees came up and in order to test Jesus asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" And Jesus answered them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Well, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house of the disciples, asked him again about this matter. And Jesus said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Here ends the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this day. Our text is taken from a free text this Sunday, Psalm 46, verses 1 and 10, and others that we'll share with you in the message itself. We're dealing today with the topic of change. I'd like to say that as we start to look at change, it's really a very hard thing for us to go through as humans. We don't much like it, and it's scary. We don't have control over it. And sometimes it seems as though it's unmanageable for us to even bear it and to deal with it. This year, in our school and church, we have a common theme called Real Present God. It's based on Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 and 10. And I'd like to have you know that we have a God who's engaged, involved, and immersed in everyday life in our world. However, this past Friday, I received a phone call from one of our members. And he said, "I'm entering into hospice. And I just wanted to let you know, Pastor." And as we visited yesterday in their home, we had a wonderful visit. and communion and an opportunity to share faith. But change had come to their household. Big change. As you and I start to look at our world, many people believe that God did not and is not involved with this world or our everyday life. They believe that He is not the creator, the sustainer, or the director. Others believe that God was simply involved in designing the world, and somehow after that He stepped out and stepped back and stays away. I believe, as the Bible says, that God created the heavens and the earth, including humanity, you and me. I also believe that there's really good news that God is still plugged into our world and into our everyday life. And the other piece of this good news is that He alone does not change. He is the one thing that is immovable and unchangeable and is a constant that you and I can always count on. This is a truth that will be the same today, yesterday, tomorrow, and in all days, in all situations, and all seasons of our life. This year's theme, Real, Present, God, in Psalm 46 tells us that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Wow, what a help that is to know that God is with us. He's there. He's a refuge, a strength. Someone we can count on. Someone who will be there with us in the midst of it all. God, the God of the Bible, the one true and only God, is the one who not only loves you, He is the one that is engaged, involved, and immersed in your everyday life and world. I've shared with you many of my stories from my own personal life. And how we've seen the Lord Jesus Christ, how God has stepped in our struggles, strengthening and supporting us in our times of trouble. I know and have heard from many of you as well of how God has told you and told me of His divine deliverance, of our Savior stepping in to your life and into your world. Even in the terrible, terrible times of troubling times, our God has carried you through those storms, our valleys, and over the tops of those mountains. The psalmist also helps us address change when seismic shifts and foundational fractures occur in our life and world, in our church, our job, our family, our health. God, my friends, is the one unchangeable. He's the constant. He's the refuge. He's the one. He's the strength and place for us to go and to turn to. He's a very present help in times of trouble. He won't leave us, and He will get us through it. I know what it's like, as I've shared with you with Desiree's mom, what it was like to pray in the Lord's Prayer and really mean it, Thy will be done. Was standing in a shower, me and the Lord, and a bar of ivory, not knowing whether I should pray for her to be healed or to take him to heaven. I learned that day, again, to pray, Thy will be done, and to truly mean it. God was with me there, and He gave me a refreshed memory and strength. He reframed my thinking, and He gave me a powerful thought to simply trust Him and His will, that He would take care of it, and He did. And that is really what we read about in the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 14. Let us hold fast, cling to, grasp, hang on to the confession, our belief. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but rather we have one in every respect who has been tempted even as we are, yet without sin. Think about what you're going through. Jesus has gone through that. Jesus understands. He identifies with what your struggles are. He knows what it's like to feel all alone. He knows what it's like to be able to face things that are bigger, that seemingly seem bigger than you are. And as he muted his divinity and his powers and struggled through with the humanity and who he was as true human, he understands all that we've gone through, yet he did it without sin. And he didn't do it just for him, but so that he could be that perfect substitute for you and me, for our sins, for our times when we fall short, when we have doubts and despair, when we just cannot go through seemingly on our own. When we pray, "Thy will be done." And he says, "Okay. Let us therefore with confidence draw near." With confidence, draw near to the throne of grace. In prayer, can't you see? That we may receive a fine grace and help in time of need, his mercy. That's what you and I have. A God who's immersed, a God who's engaged, a God who's involved in our life and in our world. A God who says, "Cast your cares before me because I care for you." That's who you and I have as we look at the things that concern us. But we also have a God who's given us a job to do. We call it the Great Commission, and in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we hear of what Jesus' words there are: to go and to make disciples of all people, baptizing and teaching them all things whatsoever he has commanded. And we see that. And you see, what Jesus is really wanting us to do is to become engaged, involved, and immersed in our world, carrying out and living out his mission through our daily life, through our church, and into our world. Now, these are Jesus' last recorded words in the book of Matthew. They are our Master's mission plan, all simply said in one verse: go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. You know, I started thinking about it, and that's very similar to the mission plan that God gave Adam and Eve. And there he said, "Go, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth and have dominion over it." That was in Genesis. Now Jesus adds, "Go, be fruitful, make disciples of all people, having dominion, baptizing and teaching them. And lo, I'm with you always." As you combine these two plans, they're so similar. You see, the Lord is wanting us to go out into the whole world, to subdue it, to have charge over it, and to teach and to baptize and to make disciples. This is the mission of Trinity Lutheran Church. This is what God wants us to focus on. This is something that hasn't changed in the past 100 years, nor has it changed in the past 2,000 years since Jesus gave it. This is what we do. This is why we exist. That of going and making disciples, Christ followers. That's what we do through the work of the Holy Spirit as we baptize, as we teach, as we share, as we invite, as we love and train others. That's what we do. Our ministry is life-changing, but it's also life-giving. We do it individually, and we do it inside of this church as we gather and worship and praise to our Lord and Savior. We are seed sowers, and we are also stewards of souls, lover of lives of those who are within our reach in our everyday world. We are a people who have been infected with the love of Jesus and want to give it to others. It's not ours to keep, but it's also ours to give. We've had a lot of funerals here lately. As I started to look back and to think on it, here at Trinity, with every funeral that is held, for a Christian, what we are doing is a very beautiful thing. It's an opportunity for us to really understand and to celebrate the ministry that is ours, of helping another saint cross the finish line of faith, entering from here into heaven. That's a step that you and I get to take part in. We are here today helping to understand that we are preparing in this lifetime for the next lifetime, and that all that God is doing is continuing to strengthen our faith. And in the book of Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse 20, Paul writes, "The church we make known the profound mysteries of God, so that through the church," Paul writes, "the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purposes whom he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord." We, Trinity Lutheran Church, are to be an integral part of our community, engaging in it, being involved in it, and immersed in it. This past Thursday, I was privileged to be invited to go attend the iDignity. I sat at a table where several other Trinity members were actually a part of it, who'd been involved in it for years. Your service was noted, and we start to see the many hands that were there to serve, and we started to see the ministry of iDignity. We saw leaders of our community. We were able to interface with them. We were able to see that the work of this iDignity was something that was bigger than one church or one person. It was something that we are each a part of the puzzle. iDignity helps people receive their identity. Social Security card, a driver's license in this world will allow you to do many things. Without it, you can't own a car, drive a car, rent a car. You can't buy a home, get a loan. You cannot get many of the things that you and I take for granted. But as I look at those who serve there, I think they have an alternate mission as well. And that is that with every person they help, every person's life they touch, every card that is given and issued out, there's a secret prayer that they're saying through their life. "I want you to identify and be known as a child of God. I want you to understand that I want you not only to get along here in this lifetime better because you have a driver's license, but I want you to get along in heaven real well because you know that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior." Gladys and Omar, isn't that why you really do it? It's so that others will know Jesus through you? I think it probably is. And as I could look at many others who are there and have done that, it was neat to be a part of. You see, Trinity, we are involved, immersed, and engaged in our community. Our city commissioner, Patty Sheehan, was there. Michael Dippy, the founder of iDignity, was there. Trinity rents the Magnolia Building in part to iDignity. And as I start to go on down the list, I think about the work of the LWML, and I think about the work that they did and how they've been able to help missions through many years as I sat on that board with them, to be able to see the things God would do through those mighty mission dollars, and how we're a part of that too. Recently, I also went on a home visit with Eric Havens and Peace, our comfort dog, this past week, and I found that Peace was a very good witness to a woman who had life-threatening problems. She cuddled up to the woman, and as the lady started to pet her with every stroke, she told us a bit more of her story. She had an incurable disease that she had that would kill her eventually. But she had an even more infectious faith in her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And she wanted us to hear about it. She wanted to see how through this terrible disease, she got to know her Lord and her Savior even better. And it was a wonderful thing that she shared with us. And I, the pastor who had gone to pray and to uplift and encourage her, was the one who was uplifted and encouraged and strengthened. We'll go back in a few more weeks, but I want you to know the Lord was at work in that home. I also see how we're engaged, immersed, and involved in the life of this community as we establish two teaching ministries to permit the little children to come unto Jesus and not to hinder them. The K-8 and the CDC. We have focused on family ministry that teaches and trains young men and women, infants through eighth grade, and also reaches out to their entire families. We can do much more here, and we are striving to do so. Wednesday chapel time with Mrs. Malenki and Omar and I conduct this chapel. Little ones learn songs and how to pray and talk to Jesus, grow their faith, and learn how to worship. For many of them, it's the only time. This is the only place they have to worship. We saw the love of Jesus shared with a group from the CDC recently with the Hawaii volcanoes. As they erupted, we emerged with help and support. We also heard of one eighth grade student sharing Bible verses with another student that was troubled that day. And the individual who was learning this Jesus and who he was said they were very meaningful. My friends, this is God stuff. Stuff that God is doing on this campus. I learned of another one of our teachers praying in a staff prayer time. And at the end of that prayer, she thanked God for sending us Dr. Middleton. And the parents who are struggling and wondering what this would all mean with the change started to see. As they unrolled their windows, they stopped and said to Bev, "Thanks, we're glad you're here. Thank you for the positivity and the enthusiasm." You see, my friends, we all know that change is hard. But somehow, some way, God gets us through it. We're certain that it's going to be a difficult time for change also for the Brockbergs. And so we pray for them as we pray for ourselves and our school and our church. Because God is still with us. We thank God for Pastor Rollison, who also joined our teaching staff this past week, and for the blessings and benefits he's already brought. Scriptures say to train up a child in the way he should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Our Sunday school is gaining some good momentum. We are seeing neat things happen. And didn't they do a wonderful job last week as they sang at the 9:30 service? Some way, somehow, we start to see that God is at work in our midst, that nothing has changed because He's present in us that we cannot get through or go through. And I want to thank you also for the stole. I love it. And for the cards that the children in Sunday school made. They are precious. After the one service last week I received a card. It was drawn in church by one of our elders. No, it wasn't the elders. It was one of our children. And it talks about what worship really is. If you look at this, it's about what worship is about. Love, one heart to another, one person to another. The cross of Jesus Christ with a heart in the middle of it, showing us God's love for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And then he mentioned something about this Pastor Doug. So we're glad to see that. And on that Sunday, to be able to be someone who received this picture and to see that God was doing all of that in our midst, showing us as we worship Jesus all that is going on. It's about sharing our lives and seeing that God is immersed in our Word as we hear it in this pulpit, as we open it on our daily homes and our baptism we recall, as we receive Holy Communion. I'm thankful for that because each of those things remind me we have a God who is with us, engaged with us, immersed in our life, and is immovable, unshakable, unchangeable, our constant in a world that seems out of control and changing. What should we do then, Trinity? What's our job? Individually and collectively. It is to show the love of Christ in what we do and in what we say. We can deal with change because we know we have a God. Our God will not change. He is immovable, unshakable. Let us now be engaged in God's mission, involved in loving as Christ has loved us, and now also be immersed in all that we can do to advance His mission. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Please stand. Please join me in the confession of our faith, the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened unto us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Lord and Savior Jesus, we indeed do thank you that you are the unchangeable, the constant in our changing world and life. We ask, O Lord, that you would strengthen us to hold confident and to hang on to that faith, that confession that is ours, that you've granted us in our baptisms, as we hear your word proclaimed in this church, in your word as it is studied in our homes, in our prayers as they are prayed and petitions coming before your throne of grace. Strengthen us, O Lord, and be at work. Help us, O Lord, to cling fast to that confession of our faith and with confidence to draw near unto you. For indeed you are a very present help in time of trouble. Help us to be still and to know that you are God. Help us, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord and Savior, we pray that you would be with our congregation, be with our leadership, grant them wisdom and strength and courage. Allow each of our staff members also the joy of knowing that their service is meaningful and productive and is changing lives in powerful ways. Lord, I ask for your wisdom, your strength, and your leadership in my life and ministry as well. And I ask, O Lord, that you would forgive one and all for any sins and any things that are unsaid or undone, meaningful, that are in any way impacting. So, Lord, forgive us where we need forgiven, and strengthen us where we need strengthened, and give us wisdom always to do your will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord and Savior also, we pray for your guidance and direction for our school. We thank you for those that you've surrounded us with, that you've placed in the gap, such as Dr. Middleton and Pastor Rollison. We ask, O Lord, your blessing to be upon them as they hold classes and teach and train up these young minds. We thank you for each of our teaching staff and ask your blessing to be upon them. For the parents and children, too, that they would be surrounded by your grace and mercy, knowing that you, O Lord, are present here on our campus. For this changing world, we also pray for the Brockbergs as they go through their change. Here in Indiana, as they accepted this call, may you bless them, be with them, and help them in their time of service. O Lord, grant each of us a peace of knowing that your will be done and that you are with us, and that you will surround us, and you will help us to go through and to get by, and to be able to rejoice, for this is a day you've made, and restore unto each of us the joy of our own salvation as we serve you with one accord. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that have been requested this day.
Heavenly Father, the congregation lifts the following prayers of petition and seeks your will and your grace. We pray for a man, Greg, who's suffering from Parkinson's disease, and we just pray an extra measure of your healing for Greg, that he might be, his health will continue enough that he may continue to work, and we pray for strength for his wife as well. And Lord, we pray for those that have suffered loss in the recent past. We think of Yvonne, it's the family of Yvonne, the family of Mercedes, and the family of Lori, who have gone to their rest. We ask for peace and comfort for their family and friends, and a peace that passes all understanding. And these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, have mercy.
And Lord, now we also ask you to be with Bob Gordon, and his family as they've now entered in this time of hospice care. May you uplift and strengthen them as well. Lord, in your mercy. And now we pray that prayer which you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed and took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke and he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and after he had supped, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament, in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord indeed lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. I'll take this first one, Tony. It's L.W. Mel's Sunday here at Trinity, and we'd just like to let you know that the Women's Missionary League is a part of something that Trinity has been able to celebrate, and certainly our congregation here is a part of the L.W. Mel Florida Georgia District. L.W. Mel internationally has been in an organization for 76 years within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You can also see that there's several sanctuary quilts that have been draped. These are quilts that have been made by our local LWML here at Trinity. And they are sent throughout the world. It will serve someone as a temporary shelter, popped up like a tent, like a sleeping bag for warmth, or even as temporary clothing when nothing else is available in the areas ravaged by natural disasters. The Mighty Mites, those little boxes, they're in the back if you'd like to grab one. But we'd like to let you know something that Trinity has received from LWML Florida Georgia District. Maggie Bowles, along with our LWML ladies of Trinity, wrote a grant, submitted it to the Florida Georgia District. And this past weekend, we were awarded a $10,000 grant for our school ministry. We thank God for that, and we thank the work of the LWML.
You could stay up here with me, though.
Okay.
Because I may go off script. Just a warning.
I didn't know we had to stay on script.
The next announcement is a plea to anyone who is available and able to come and help with the office moves. We need some help with some heavy lifting as well, as long-awaited office moves are coming. Construction and wiring is almost complete in the new school office, and the next step will be to move the school office furniture and from the current location to their brand new space in the Heritage Hall. So we will need some extra help, extra muscle to help with the move. If you are able, we'll meet at 9 a.m. in front of the main office next Saturday, October 13th. Okay. And then mark your calendars for Friday, October 26th is our Oktoberfest. This annual Oktoberfest is a community event with live music, food trucks, festival games, ministry tables, German beer and wine, and more.
And details. Tony's Lederhosen.
And you may see me in Lederhosen. That's true.
That is true.
So details on the event, along with volunteer and sponsorship signups, are available in your Trinity Weekly. And now something very special. Sunday only. If you've ever seen a handbell choir performing, it's pretty amazing to see and hear the music that is created by a well-coordinated team of people ringing individual handbells. And Glenda passed the word along to make a special announcement for this. They're very excited for the handbell choir, and Glenda's available after worship this morning with a set of handbells in the side chapel. If you're interested in seeing handbells close up, testing out what it will feel to ring one, or maybe even interested in taking lessons, please feel free to stay after worship for a few minutes and stop by to talk with her. So, all of you, I am very interested, so I'm going to look.
Thank you.
Very good. And this is where I'm going off script. So this is the beginning of the month. And every month, in the back in the narthex, we publish what we call Those Who Serve. And it's basically the roster of all the volunteer positions that take place throughout the month to accomplish the worship service, to make everything run smoothly. That includes the ushers, the readers, the greeters, the PowerPoint presentation person, the acolytes. And so I invite you to every month, at the beginning of the month, take a close look and see if your name is on here, and so that you can fulfill your duties if you volunteer for something, or if you see an empty spot and think that you can help out, that would be a wonderful thing for our church to keep everything running smoothly during our worship services. Sometimes it's a struggle, I know for myself, to remember, and so that's why we publish this. It's also available electronically. If you are internet inclined, you may also look it up on the website. So it's just a little reminder that we, every month, should take a look at what is going on in church and how we can volunteer and help.
Thanks. Thank you. Good job. Please join us in standing by singing our final hymn. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.
Thanks be to God.